Friends, today we move into Galatians chapter 3. We're happy that you joined us here on the Radio Bible Course. Galatians chapter 2 was a tremendous teaching about how Christians ought to be free of the law. And as we go into chapter 3, we should remember that Peter, by going back to the law, nullified the grace of God. Can you nullify the grace of God? Yes, you can also. How? By indicating to someone that something in addition to faith in Christ is necessary. Chapter 3 begins the second major division of this epistle. It includes chapters 3 and 4, and Paul here is going to argue for justification by faith alone, apart from works, of course. Paul did not write by chapters, of course, and for our purpose it would be well to ignore this chapter break. I say this because Paul in chapter 3 applies his rebuke of Peter to the Galatian believers here in chapter 3. Paul begins by asking 5 questions, 3 of which mention the Spirit of God. Now listen to the passages. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun with the Spirit, are you now ending with the flesh? Did you experience so many things in vain? If it really is in vain. And verse 5, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Paul asks 5 questions in that context, 3 of which mention the Holy Spirit, and up to this point, Paul has not referred to the Spirit at all. But beginning with verse 2, he uses the word Spirit 17 times in this epistle. In addition, in these 5 verses of chapter 3, Paul's questions supply us with 2 possible answers for sake of contrast. For example, here we have in verse 2, by works of the law or by hearing with faith. In verse 3, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? And verse 5, do it by works of the law or by hearing with faith? The contrast here can be summarized this way. Do you do something or did you believe something? That's what he's asking these Galatians, and he lets them know that the Spirit was very much involved in their salvation and the things that happened at the beginning of their Christian life. What are they doing then? They are going back to the law, thinking that they can perfect themselves or complete their faith by something that they do that was written in the Old Testament law. It is apparent that they were deceived and they were led astray. But were they different from us today? I see very little difference. As I visit churches and Bible classes, people are talking about the law and how they need to tithe and keep the Sabbath day and do various things, not only the Ten Commandments, but other things found in the law. People today, Christian people, are very much occupied with that Old Testament in the sense of becoming more righteous. They don't seem to be satisfied that Christ has done everything. I think one of the reasons is that their ministers have not taught them truth that is basic to the Christian life. We call it positional truth. If you don't know who you are in Christ, you're not going to live like Christ wants you to live. It's important that we teach Christians that they are children of God, complete, that they are in the family of God, and that they are to be a holy people because of it. Now, if they know who they are, they're more likely to live up to that standard. Now, these Galatians believed in Christ alone for salvation until the law-promoting teachers led them into attempts to be more righteous by following selected Old Testament laws. Circumcision was one of those. You see, the Galatians were not practicing evil. On the contrary, they were striving to be better in the sight of God. That's what their problem was. If you have missed the significance of the Galatian problem, it is probably my fault for not explaining it clearly enough, but I hope you will see it today. Listen again to verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun with the Spirit, are you now ending with the flesh? Or, as some translations say, are you being perfected by the flesh? These Christians in Galatia believed in Jesus Christ. They knew they had forgiveness, and they knew that they had eternal life. But because of the false teaching by those Jewish teachers, they thought that in addition to the Spirit starting them off in the Christian life, that they could complete their life by what they did. Now, the word perfected here refers to being completed or finished. Paul in Galatians 3:3 adds the preposition epi to intensify that verb perfected to mean fully perfected or completed. And here's how it could read. Are you so foolish, having begun with the Spirit, are you now fully completed or perfected by the flesh? The Galatians, you see, were trying to better themselves in regard to righteousness. Now apply that to yourself today. We too receive forgiveness by faith in Christ alone, but many of us became victims of law-promoting teachers and preachers, and we were deceived into attempting to be more righteous by following selected Old Testament laws. Well, people say, what's wrong with that? Well, there's much that's wrong with it. And I've drawn up a list regarding that law. First of all, the law was not given to make a man more righteous. Two, it's a unit. If you follow one, you must follow all of them. You can't break up the law in pieces and be selective. Third, the law is not of faith. It doesn't require you to believe anything. The law requires you to do something. Fourth, the law and the Spirit are not compatible. In the New Testament, they are often contrasted and at odds with one another. So if you want to live by the Spirit, you cannot live by law also. Fifth, the law curses. If you don't obey it perfectly, you fall under the curse. Any person who tries to live by the law is announcing that one can get more righteous by doing such things. Seven, living by law makes faith in Christ insufficient, and it implies that the Spirit's work needs help from us, human help. Next, the law causes a person to fall from grace. That's what falling from grace means. It means going back to the law from which we have been delivered and freed. And once you have come into that liberty and turn back and go to the law in order to increase your salvation chances, then you have fallen from grace and fallen back to law. Living by the law robs a believer of his Christ-purchased position. But there are more consequences to the law. By adding the law to the Christian life, we imply that believers are slaves instead of sons. And Galatians 4:7 is going to insist that we are sons, not slaves. Slaves are in bondage, and the bondage is law. By adding the law, we also pervert the gospel of grace, and we nullify the gospel of grace. And by adding the law, we ignore Paul's allegory about two covenants, one for slaves and one for free men. We'll get to that in chapter 4, and you may want to read it ahead of time. Finally, by adding the law to the Christian life, we reject the fact that believers are children of promise, not children of law. Where does it say that? Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. Paul writes, "Now we, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise." Now, we can appreciate the words, "You foolish Galatians," because there are millions of believers who are very much like those Galatians, but instead of focusing on circumcision to be righteous today, we are occupied with what? The law of the tithe, the law of the commandments and holy days, including the Sabbath day. Do not forget that James in Acts chapter 15, after concluding that the apostles and elders of the Jerusalem church should not burden Gentile believers with Moses' law, said this in verse 21, "For from early generations Moses has had in every city those who preach him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues." Why did James say that? Because he knew there were synagogues every place, and if you wanted to get the law, you could get it in the synagogue. You didn't have to come to a Christian meeting. And so he's telling the Christians in all the churches, hey, keep the law out of the churches. It has no place there. The people who teach the law are servants of Moses, but the servants of Christ ought to be teaching the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not forget what the Apostle John wrote in John 1:17. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. When the Christians in Galatia were led away from the cross, they were seeking righteousness by the practices of Judaism. But the cross message is the grace of God and the righteousness that comes by faith in Christ. Now, we come to verse 1, where Paul takes them back to the cross work of Christ first. And I'm afraid we don't really have time to get into it today, but we'll begin with that tomorrow. Did you know that the disciples of Jesus expected him to become the king of the Jews after his resurrection? When he met with them during those 40 days before ascending into heaven, they asked, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Why did they believe in a kingdom on the earth? These Jewish disciples knew something of the Old Testament promises about the restoration of the Davidic kingdom, and since he arose from the dead, perhaps they thought this would be the time. He answered, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has fixed." Well, no one knows the time, but teaching about this millennial kingdom is included in our course on Understanding the New Testament. It's on cassette tape. Write for our teaching tapes brochure, which tells you how to order Understanding the New Testament. Ask for our teaching tapes brochure. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.